shepherds watched their flocks by night and saw a bright new shining star. They heard a choir sing, the music seemed to come from afar. Now Joseph and his wife Mary came to Bethlehem that night and found no place to bear her child. Not a single room was inside. Hark now, hear the angels singing, a new king born today. And man will live forevermore because of Christmas Day. By and by they found a little nook in a stable all forlorn, and in a manger cold and dark Mary's little boy was born. Hark now, hear the angels singing, a new king born today. Christmas Day. Trumpet sound and angels singing, listen to what they say. That man will live forevermore because of Christmas Day.
Welcome to National Liberty Alliance's weekly conference call. Today is Monday, December 12, 2022. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern. If you're listening live over our radio or another network and you would like to ask a question or make a comment, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org and click on our weekly call for instructions to join us by phone, app, or browser. Or if anyone would like to email a question, you can send your questions to questions, it's plural, questions, at nationallibertyalliance.org. Also, please support our business partners. You can find their banners on the right-hand side of our website, of which the proceeds go to support NLA's effort to save our republic. Also, please support NLA by donating $5 a month or more. Click on our donation tab on the top right-hand side of our website. We have a couple of books available, which also supports what we're doing here. You can find them on the right-hand side of our website. One is Government by Consent, and the other one is Court Access and the Common Law. And if you click on those links, you'll get a lot of information about that book and the option to purchase it. please consider joining our campaign for constitutional sheriffs. We have to get our sheriffs educated. You'll find that tab on the right-hand side of our website also, and also on our front page here on our website. You'll see a link taking you over to that. Okay, tonight's scripture, we're going to leave Romans this week and not pick up in Romans. We'll come back and pick up Romans after Christmas. What I wanted to do was play two chapters, one tonight and one next week. It's the Christmas chapters. It's Luke chapter 1. So let's read the Gospel of Luke chapter 1 first, and then we'll get into announcements. let me see if I can find it. There it is. And this is read by Alexander Scorby. So Luke chapter 1.
The Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 1. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. There was in the days of Herod the king of Judea a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zacharias said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. And the people waited for Zacharias, and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them, and remained speechless. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days his wife Elizabeth conceived, and hid herself 5 months, saying, Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me, to take away my reproach among men. And in the sixth month the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in those days, and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias, and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Saviour. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats, and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath holpen his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months, and returned to her own house. Now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zacharias, after the name of his father. And his mother answered and said, Not so, but he shall be called John. And they said unto her, There is none of thy kindred that is called by this name. And they made signs to his father how he would have him called. And he asked for a writing table, and wrote, saying, His name is John. And they marveled all. And his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God. And fear came on all that dwelt round about them. And all these sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all they that heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, What manner of child shall this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost, and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies, and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us, that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel.
Okay, all right, we'll pick up on chapter 2 next week. It'll be the last meeting that we'll have before Christmas. And tonight we're going to focus in on our final paper to the judiciary, or concerning the judiciary, shall I say. You know, we've been filing papers in the court now for 6 years, maybe more, but I think it's about 6 years. And we've been met with silence. They have been filing all of our papers. They haven't returned them, but they have concealed them, because when people call up the court concerning the case, they say they don't know nothing about it, and or the case is closed or something. I don't know exactly, because I haven't made any phone calls, but we've heard things. But again, we've given them a lot of information. We filed a lot of papers. We put in a lot of papers concerning non-judicial foreclosures and attached them to our case. And we're doing a lot of work for a lot of people, you know, habeas corpuses, non-judicial foreclosures, and a few other different kind of cases. You know, a couple of them were successful, but most of them were not. And this was just evidence against the federal judiciary. One of our concerns or wonders for many years now has been, you know, where are we going to get, you know, the... who's going to back up this paper? Who's going to, well, let me open this up and just get to the front page while we're talking here. You know, the question is who's going to enforce it? And lately, or the last couple of years, we've been kind of realizing that, okay, after things go by as they're going right now through devolution, and we get to a certain point, we'd be able to get some enforcement. But recently it's come to my attention, Gerard has brought this to my attention, he shared a video, and it was with a case that went before the Supreme Court, and they were coming in on an emergency, and they got direct, contact, or they went directly to the United States Supreme Court, at least the paperwork did, and I understand their case is being heard. And they bypassed a lot of the processes in order to do that because of an emergency. Then I found out that the United States Supreme Court was visited by NORAD, that's run by General Glenn D. Van Herck, however you pronounce his name, H-E-R-C-K, Herrick. They were told that this case, that they're going to keep an eye out on how they're going to deal with this particular case. I was looking for the exact spot and haven't been able to find it. I don't know if Gerard has found it, and if he's found it, maybe he'll play it tonight so we can hear about it. But if we can't find it tonight, we'll look for it through the week and we'll play it next week. But so we realized that NORAD was interested in this case. We do know that not only NORAD, but also National Guard has been put on high alert in all 50 states, and they've been so for at least a year, maybe even two. I'm not sure exactly how long, but they've been on high alert for quite some time now. And so something is ready to happen. And I guess we've been waiting for something to be triggered or to reach a certain point, whatever it is that is going to bring us to that point where, a lot of arrests are going to take place and we're going to win back our republic. You know, unfortunately, the big problem is that people don't know how to take back this republic. They don't know how to have government by consent. Of course, that's why National Liberty Alliance is here and bringing all the necessary education for people to understand that and know how to have government by consent. And that's why I also wrote a book called Government by Consent, which is almost 600 pages. And it's maxed out on the thickness of it, of the book, and it's a hardcover book, 8.5 by 11, and so it's available for people who are interested in learning how to have government by consent. You can also learn that on our website. Pretty much most of what's in that book is on our website anyway, but of course we brought it into a book form. So tonight what we're going to do is going to read this paper. And we're hoping to be able to get this into the court before the end of the year. I know that they're on recess now, and I know they're not going to be back till January 6th. But we'd like to file it by the end of the year, and we're going to file it directly to all of the justices directly, and also, address it to the United States Supreme Court coming in from various areas. And we're serving a copy onto NORAD for enforcement and onto the National Guard for enforcement. So we feel pretty good about this potential enforcement, and, it's up to the people ultimately also to get this message out. I mean, this is a very important paper. It recaps our entire case. It brings everything to a point, and it puts the United States Supreme Court on notice, and in my opinion, I believe it brings them to a point between a rock and a hard place. They have no way to go but the way they need to go. And I do think it's one of our most powerful papers. I mean, I think all our papers are powerful. And I think this particular paper is extremely powerful. So I'm going to read through it. And at the end of this, we'll open up for conversations, for questions, any corrections to be offered. You know, one of the things about writing, I do a lot of writing, I find, you go back and you reread things over and over again, make sure everything looks good and you got good English and good punctuation and that, it's just worded right. What I've discovered, though, is, you can read things sometimes that you write over and over numerous times and not pick up certain mistakes. And when you read it out loud, when you articulate it, that's when they appear. So this will be good for me tonight also, because this will be the first time I'm articulating and I'm going to speak it out. You know, I've read this through this quite a few times, and this is the third draft, and I think the final draft will be hopefully done before the end of the week. We have lots of memorandums to attach to this particular paper, which you'll see at the end. I think it was 20 or 21 memorandums, pretty much all written. There may be one or two that we haven't really written yet, but pretty much all of the memorandums already have been written. I'm going to go through them and update those memorandums and then make an attachment. So again, it's going to be served directly on all of the justices directly and also directly to the United States Supreme Court. We're going to copy NORAD and we're going to copy the National Guard. So this is Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury. And the way we couch this is interesting because we've been working at this from the perspective of the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury. And you're going to see how we transform in this paper from the grand jury to the jury itself. We came together as a grand jury quite some time ago and made some decisions. And one of the decisions we made, that because we were going after a lot of judges, and we've indicted quite a few judges, and you're going to see about this as we read through this paper, all the judges that we've indicted. And I don't think they're all in here. We're going through the papers now, trying to update them and get all the papers, make sure we have, all of the papers listed in this case on this paper. We decided a long time ago that when a judge decides not to obey the law, and especially when it's treason, and it's treason against the king, ultimately, when you refuse to hear a habeas corpus, which is an unalienable right. It's treason when you take away someone's property, when a judge takes away someone's property and without due process and allows it to go through and you make notification to them and they just don't care and they go through anyway. It's treason when you take away someone's children or their parents or their estates without due process and just ignoring, without fiduciary authority, ultimately, and to destroy the lives of families of many people, and especially the children, who are injured for life from that, in my opinion. So anyway, it's in the United States Supreme Court. Eventually we'll get a court number. We do have a court number that's from the originating court, which is up in the Northern District here of New York. And we put up here, this is a national emergency concerning high treason. And what we found out, when you send a paper in with that on it, they like to put, for you to put as per Rule 11. I don't think I'm going to put Rule 11. I'm going to look at that. I might, but I don't think I am, because the rules are really repugnant and null and void. They were produced illegally, unlawfully. They went up against the Constitution, and Rule 2 actually went forward to abrogate the common law and to bring forth the civil law of 1938 through the 1934 Rules Enabling Act. So we'll see what we'll do with that. So national emergency concerning high treason, and the originating court, the de facto court, we put forward the name. In fact, I may change that de facto court. Well, let me think about it. Well, it was taken control by the judges, so it is a de facto court, so we'll leave that in there. Tribunal is the sureties of the peace, quorum nobis. Jurisdiction is a court of record, also known as common law, and it's regarding a preemptory writ mandamus concerning an action at law filed in the Northern District of New York regarding high treason. And there are two types of writ mandamuses. One is preemptory, and that means... we're not asking you to, come back and tell us why you're doing something or give us why the cause that you acted in a certain way or whatever. This is a command to act without response, and it's an order, and it comes from the king's bench, which it comes directly from the people. We're going to describe that a little bit inside the paper here. And again, as I mentioned, the respondents, the United States Supreme Court, and I mentioned our enforcement, NORAD, and the National Guard. So writ mandamus, a prerogative writ of the people's remedy. And we're going to post this paper once we perfect it, because again, I'm sure we're going to find a few mistakes in it as we're reading through it, and we have some more to add to it. As I mentioned, even some cases that we may have been missing here. But we will post this, and it'll be available for people to download it and read it and get it out. I'm going to try to do it as quick as possible. I'd like to say maybe within this week. It depends on the work of others. I can get the memorandums done by the end of this week, but it's the work of others to get completed so that we can list all of the cases and all of the different judges that we indicted and various other people. when you read through this, you're going to want to go back and read through our footnotes. And so what a writ mandamus is and what a prerogative writ, the people's remedy is. So I'm not going to look at footnotes, but I'm going to leave it up to the people to go back and look. And there's a lot of power and authority in looking in the footnotes. And we even talk, I think, in this case, on the purpose of why footnotes are. Anyway, it's to the United States Supreme Court. We name all the judges. Come now, the constituted unified United States Common Law Grand Jury of the 50 United States of America, to command the United States Supreme Court justices to perform their sworn duty to champion the reinstatement of our common law courts of justice, thereby guaranteeing, as it is your sworn duty, to every state of this union, a republican form of government, as ordained by the people via the Constitution, and protect our courts against invasion or vacate your office. This writ mandamus for cause is peremptory. The federal judiciary officers, judges, clerks, and attorneys of the de facto civil law courts have been fully informed concerning the high treason against we, the people, and our republican form of government. The federal judiciary for more than 6 years have ignored the filings in the above-said originating court, and by their fraudulent 6 years of silence and concealment of this case confirms to this tribunal that they are cognizant of their crimes and have chosen to commit felony rescue of the enemy and are thereby enemies of the Republic of the United States of America. Said court officers are guilty of conspiracy to defraud, fraud on the court, treason, and possibly high treason. The United States Supreme Court is hereby commanded to obey without exception this mandamus and thereby champion the law of the land. The justices of the United States Supreme Court is expected to know the differences between proceedings at law and inequity, also known as positive law. The justices of the United States Supreme Court today and days gone by know that most, if not all, federal and state courts have been acting under civil law and have closed the doors of justice to the people as they defraud them with a facade of a lawful court and extort them for money to enter the courts of Leviathan and not nature's God. We, the people, paid to build and operate these court buildings, including your compensations, and it has been a den of thieves. It has become a den of thieves. This is an extraordinary action, an indictment against the federal judiciary and the American Bar Association, also known as the Minions of the New World Order. The purpose of this judicial action is to reinstate our natural law republic in all our federal and state courts, whereas the crimes and damages are so great, so numerous, and for so long that we will leave the criminal arrest, trials, and just penalties for high treason to the United States military tribunals and the untainted grand juries across America as cases are brought by their victims into our courts of law. We, the people, via the grand jury, have been providentially entrusted via natural law to dispense justice and were provided legal recourse to address the criminal conduct of the judiciary and our representatives. The people have the unbridled right, by law and in law, to impanel their own grand juries, present true bills of informations, indictments, and presentments to the court of justice. It is we, the jury's duty, that if anyone has been disposed without the legal judgment of his peers, from his lands, homes, franchises, or from his rights, we will immediately restore to him. And if a dispute arise over this, then it will be decided by the 25 jurors, of whom mentioned is made below in the clause for security of peace, securing the peace. Moreover, for all these possessions from which anyone has, without the lawful judgment of his peers, been deceased or removed by our government, we will immediately grant full justice therein. Magna Carta, paragraph 52. And that, of course, really gives us the history of the first recorded grand jury. You know, I'm sure maybe there was grand juries before that, but this was the first recorded grand juries that we know of under the common law as that was recorded. We, the people, have the unbridled right to impanel and preside over our own court proceedings, unfettered by legislation and technical rules, whereas we, the people, proceed under natural law, the rules of natural law, and as petit jurists. And at this point, this is where we turn to become the jury. This paper is the conclusion of the jury. Natural law demands that only the people, via a free and independent grand jury and petit juries, have the supreme judicial authority to indict or not, to decide the law, to sit as the tribunal in all criminal cases, to nullify any statute, to deny any rule, to judge guilt or innocence, and pronounce the remedy or punishment, free from judiciary interference, and whose decisions are final and cannot be overturned. And I want to make a note here, and this is important to understand because people don't realize this. People are ignorant to this. They go before a judge and they allow a political individual to make decisions on your innocence or guilt many times and a judgment and put you in jail. That's not possible under common law. The common law is run by the people. No judge is allowed. The judges are the tribunal, the king's bench, the 12 jurists. That's who the judges are. And the individual that may look like a judge is really, you know, he's not acting as a judge. He's coming in sort of like a traffic cop. And so whenever any of these judges come in, that's their job. They're not able to make any rules in the court at all, not to make a ruling. Their job is only to keep things moving through and also you know, to make sure that the will of the jury is completed. So they act as what's called a magistrate. And all judges are magistrates. They're magistrates and judges. But then there are people that are just magistrates. They're not judges at all, just magistrates. But judges can only rule in an equity court. And even in an equity court, if it becomes a criminal matter, it changes face, and a jury is called, and the people decide. And they're supposed to be deciding everything. But anyway, therefore, as the preamble to the United States, of punishment free from jury interference without any without whose decisions are final and cannot be overturned. Okay, therefore, as the preamble to the Declaration of Independence declares, whenever any form of government becomes destructive to our rights, it is the right of the people to alter government and institute new servants. This was reiterated by James Madison when he said, "The people have the indubitable, unalienable, and indefeasible right to reform or change their government whenever it be found adverse or inadequate to the purpose of its institution." Samuel Adams said, "The natural liberty of man is to be free from any superior power on earth, and not to be under the will or legislative authority of man, but only to have the law of nature for his rule." We, the jury, find that the federal jury has become adverse to the law of the land, thereby placing our republic and our liberty in jeopardy. Since at least 1871, via the Repugnant and Subversive Organic Act, the federal judiciary has brought the United States Republic to the brink of destruction and carried the people away under Leviathan's Babylonian rule. This extraordinary action at law by the people under natural law for an extraordinary remedy via this writ mandamus, we the people command, not asking, a return to the law of our common law, republic, or face the wrath of this lawful assembly of the sureties of peace, an unalienable right of the people. We the people herein, having filed hundreds of papers and demanded obedience to hundreds of federal and state judges under the above said case number, and in every case was ignored and met with silence. Therefore, we the people of the United States Common Law Grand Jury herein now proceed as a pettit jury, for with more than 10,000 jurists under natural law and the rules of natural law, having filed and advanced to this point under the auspices of the court, irrelevant to being ignored, case canceled, and unlawfully rejected by defendants. The record shows that no respondents made any return, and no respondents provided any objection, and by their silence alone demonstrates fraud and treason or high treason to be sorted out in future filings. Moreover, and most importantly, the issue of this case are self-evident, widely known, and just, and cannot be denied by any reasonably minded person. The United States Court took an oath to do justice and thereby is in a position to order obedience to the subservient courts by commanding the inferior courts, that is to say, the federal and state judiciaries, to restore justice. Let the people go from under the grip of Leviathan's Babylonian courts. Obey the law of the land. Secure the blessings of liberty. Open our courts of law. Protect our republican form of government. and permit access to lawful courts by the people and for the people without cost, or face the consequences as accomplices in high treason, whose penalty for all involved is the same as principal. We, the jury of more than 10,000 people, are resolved. We, the tribunal, by executing our sovereign right of government by consent, do therefore command the United States Supreme Court. Again, we do not ask, and we do indeed act under the threat of indictment for high treason to any justice that denies our unalienable right of courts of justice, our natural law republic, and our right of government by consent in the spirit of Magna Carta and the Declaration of Independence. Furthermore, we, the jury, command all elected, appointed, and hired servants of the court to obey the law of the land and join the sovereign people in our mission to reinstate our Constitution for the United States in all our American courts and bring to justice all subverts. Now that you have been formally directed by writ to act, to do nothing elevates you to principal, and we will act accordingly. Therefore, the United States Supreme Court is to take judicial notice as follows. You have been fully and formally informed herein as per 18 U.S.C. subsection 2382 of treason at the highest level of government. 18 U.S. Code subsection 2, principal. Whoever commits an offense against the United States or aids and abets, counsel, commands, induces, or procures its commission is punishable as a principal. Whoever willfully causes an act to be done, which if directly performed by him or another, would be an offense against the United States, is punishable as a principal. 5 U.S.C. Code subsection 7311. An individual may not accept or hold a position in the government of the United States or government of the District of Columbia if he advocates the overthrow of our constitutional form of government. And this would be proven by your silence and lack of action to execute your vested power to secure our republic. And 2, is a member of an organization, such as the Bar Association, that he knows advocates the overthrow of our constitutional form of government. And 18 U.S.C. subsection 1918. Whoever violates the provisions of section 7311 of Title V, we just read that up there, that an individual may not accept or hold a position in the government of the United States or government of the District of Columbia if he advocates the overthrow of a constitutional form of government. Silence and non-action proves your advocation to overthrow our constitutional form of government. 2, is a member of an organization that he knows advocates the overthrow of our constitutional form of government, such as the Bar Association. Resign from the Bar Association now, or resign your office now. And silence can only be equated with fraud, where there is a legal or moral duty to speak, or where an inquiry left unanswered would be intentionally misleading. To not act is high treason. We, the tribunal, in this extraordinary action, and the authors of all law under the authority of natural law, by right of the covenant of 1776, with our Creator under his natural law at large, and the people's ordained compacts of 1789 and 1791, are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among them are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter it and to institute new government representatives and reinstate its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to what most likely to affect our safety and happiness. And when a long train of abuses and usurpations pursuing invariably the same object demonstrates a design to reduce us under absolute despotism, it is our right, it is our duty to throw off such tyrants and provide new gods for our future security. Such has been the patient sufferance of the people of these United 50 States, and such is now the necessity which obliges us to act. The history of the federal judiciary is a history of repeated injuries and usurpations, all having a direct object the establishment of an absolute tyranny over we the people of these states. To prove this, let the facts be presented. Whereas we the jury, having found and filed in this court at the district level a myriad of evidence filed in this case, having a duty to restore what cannot be abrogated, that being the national law, that being the natural law in our courts and the natural law constitution for the United States of America. Having filed on 5/15/15 a writ quo warranto against the federal judiciary, our first paper, having fallen upon deaf ears, and therefore warrants the surrendering of this office. Said filing was followed with numerous documents that having been filed in the United States District Court of the Northern District of New York, and can also be found at nationallibertyalliance.org. A partial list of our filings are as follows, supported by 23 memorandums of law and hundreds of documented evidences. Theory no more. The following proves conspiracy in fact by the coordinated, premeditated acts of judges across America who are determined to end the people's ordained and established republic. Writ mandamus to the clerk, acknowledged and obeyed the law. The clerks did take all the papers. They've never, ever turned anything back. But again, they have concealed it. And then we go through all of these different filings that we had. Decision and order, declaration to restore, ignored. Decision and order concerning merging equity and law, ignored. Judge Kahn's second indictment, ignored. Fake law and fake courts, ignored. Federal rule, mandamus on federal rule, ignored. Mandamus info on republic, ignored. All these papers that we filed was ignored. And then we filed numerous habeas corpuses. And I know we filed more than what's added here, so there's more to be added. We have to update this paper. And again, I hope to be able to do that by the end of this week. So we name all of the individuals whose papers we filed for habeas corpuses. And every one of them was ignored, at least in this list they were ignored. Non-judicial foreclosures were challenged and ignored. And again, we've listed all the cases here, and there's more to be added here. Indictments for denial of habeas corpus and felony rescue. And we've put all of these different indictments in, and they were ignored. Again, more to be added here. Indictments filed for denial of due process and felony rescue. Again, some more judges, and again, every one of them ignored. Assassination of Lavoie Finnegan with a 24-page murder conspiracy. Indictments against the following individuals were ignored. Hillary Clinton was one of the first ones we put up in here on this list, but there's a lot of these individuals, you recognize their names because they're in the media quite often, or have been. Said filings was for specific recovery of the people's heritage stolen by the bar judiciaries in collaboration with bar attorneys, in that the people were hijacked into traitorous bar-controlled foreign courts to jurisdictions unknown, denied due process in our unlawfully abrogated courts of law, extorted a fee for justice in our stolen courts as they continually cast us out through Rule 12 or for no standing, sentencing innocent people to unlawful debtors' prisons under USC 26, denied people being heard, unlawfully imprisoned under their repugnant civil law and stacked juries, lost their children and elderly parents to Gestapo-type family courts, lost their parents' estates and inheritance to greedy, traitorous, bar-controlled probate courts, lost their homes to non-judicial foreclosures, and in all cases met by bar judges and bar attorneys with silence and smugness, which collectively demonstrates proof that the judiciary harbors no refuge for the security for justice, refuses to ensure the domestic tranquility, refuses to promote the general welfare, and tramples underfoot our founding documents and the blessings of liberty. These bar minions of the New World Order and judicial tyrants have tainted every grand and trial jury. They have labeled patriots terrorists. They have infiltrated our government from the very inception of our nation and have labored continuously deteriorating our union, taking the controls at every level of government. They have changed our federal city, built upon righteousness and governed by our creator's law, which is natural law, into a corporate state of greed and corruption controlled by foreign bankers and bar association. By God were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. For he is before all things, and by him all things consist, and through his natural law we the people are vested with unalienable rights. Governments are not. Because rights are unalienable, legislators cannot legislate or abolish rights away, no matter what the repugnant traitorous bar has instructed. Rights come from God and not man. Therefore, even we the people cannot rescind them for ourselves or others. Once we the people ordained common law as the law of the land, no man can abrogate it. To claim to do so is an act of war against the people and their God. In Marbury v. Madison, the United States Supreme Court correctly confirmed unconstitutional legislation null and void, and that includes repugnant court decisions. The law warned us that the lawyers would reject the counsel of God, and that they place upon men burdens grievous to be endured while they place themselves above the burdens, by controlling our courts while they are never held accountable even to their own laws. The Lord went on to say that they will take away the key of knowledge, thereby preventing many from entering into the kingdom of truth. And for this reason, courts of law are decided by the people themselves through unfettered grand and petty juries and not bar judges and bar prosecutors. The United States Supreme Court said, judges have no more right to decline the exercise of jurisdiction which is given them, to usurp that which is not given. The one or the other would be treason to the Constitution. No judicial process, whatever form it may assume, can have any lawful authority outside the limits of the jurisdiction of the court or the judge by whom it is issued. And an attempt to enforce it beyond these boundaries is nothing less than lawless violence. Decency, security, and liberty alike demand that government officials be subjected to the same rules of conduct that are commands of to the citizens. In a government of laws, existence of the government will be in peril if it fails to observe the law scrupulously. Our government is the potent and omnipresent teacher, for good or for ill. It teaches the whole people by its example. Crime is contagious. If the government becomes a lawbreaker, it breeds contempt for the law. It invites every man to become a law unto himself. It invites anarchy. To declare that in the administration of the criminal law, the end justified the means. To declare that the government may commit crimes in order to secure the convictions of a private criminal would bring terrible retribution against that pernicious doctrine. This court should resolutely set its face. We, the tribunal, are unanimously resolved and hereby command the United States Supreme Court Justice to perform their duty by issuing declaratory decisions as follows in order to reopen our courts of justice and restore the law of the land, and to stand ready to enforce indictments upon justices in the inferior courts that this tribunal will be filing directly to the Supreme Court should they not obey. We the people, via Article 3, vested the United States Supreme Court with certain powers to protect this republic and secure the blessings of liberty, and we now call upon you to exercise those powers in law and in justice. Whereas in the case of Cohen versus Virginia, it was said, we judges have no more right to decline the exercise of jurisdiction which is given than to usurp that which is not given. The one or the other would be treason to the Constitution. Now, I know that was a repeat, so I might pull that out, but I think it reads okay anyway the way it is. Each of the following demanded declaratory decisions for conscience sake is supported by a memorandum in support of the declaratory decision that you are being commanded to declare by way of mandamus to inferior courts, and is further supported by hundreds of documents filed in this extraordinary case filed in the above said court and at nationallibertyalliance.org. We, the tribunal, can only conclude that a justice of the Supreme Court that cannot see the justice of the following is either blind or an enemy of the Republic. In either case, such a justice is not qualified to be a Supreme Court justice. Ignorance of the law is no excuse, and such a justice must resign or be removed. The United States Supreme Court is ordered to make the following declaratory judgment and notify the 94 federal district courts via writ mandamus of the same. Declaratory judgment. Now, I got these in red, the prime points of these different listings of the declaratory judgment that we're requiring here, only so I can recall and remember, make sure I put a memorandum in each one of these places. So until I stick the memorandums in, they stay red. Okay, declaratory judgment ruling. Common law is the law of the land, protected under Amendment 7, and serve a writ mandamus to all 94 federal district courts to obey the same. See attached memorandum of law in support. Declaratory judgment ruling the Organic Act of 1871 an act of treason that supplanted the United States of America and thereby repugnant to the Constitution, null and void, and serve a writ mandamus to all 94 federal district courts to obey the same. See attached mandamus of law in support. Declaratory judgment ruling that the Rules Enabling Act of 1934 that gave the United States Supreme Court legislative powers null and void, because the United States Supreme Court does not have legislative powers. Only Congress was vested with the powers to legislate, and Congress has no authority to vest the United States Supreme Court with legislative power. Furthermore, said rules are repugnant and supplanted the rules of common law and served a writ mandamus. It is a mistake I found here, and serve a writ mandamus to all 94 federal district courts to obey the same. I have to come back there and check that sentence there, make it worded better. Declaratory judgment ruling the reinstatement of the rules of common law, and serve a writ mandamus to all 94 federal district courts to obey the same. See attached memorandum of law in support. Number 5, declaratory judgment ruling the unconstitutionality of charging the people a fee to enter the courts, and serve a writ mandamus to all 94 federal district courts to obey the same. See memorandum of law support in support attached. Number 6, declaratory judgment ruling an end to jury tampering and stacking, and serve a writ mandamus to all 94 federal district courts to obey the same. See attached memorandum of law in support. Declaratory judgment ruling that only the common law elected sheriff and coroner have the authority to bring a case before the grand jury. Prosecutors desiring to bring a criminal case before a grand jury must bring their case to the sheriff, and the sheriff will bring the case to the grand jury and serve, and then, of course, the United States is to serve a writ mandamus to the all 94 federal district courts to obey the same. See attached. And this wording is not very good. So again, I got to come back and work that wording out. Declaratory judgment ruling the office of the sheriff is a common law office that cannot be abrogated by legislation or referendum. Sheriffs are elected by the people and are the chief law enforcer of the county, whose office is protected by most, if not all, state constitutions. And they are to serve a writ mandamus to all 94 federal district courts to obey the same. See attached memorandum of law in support. Declaratory judgment ruling that our common law grand juries are lawful, and serve a writ mandamus to all 94 federal district courts to acknowledge and obey the same, and attach a copy of the grand jury handbook to be distributed to all jurists. See attached copy of the handbook in support. Available in PDF for free or handbooks on Amazon at nationallibertyalliance.org. By the way, of course, I think most people that are here tonight know that that book is available up on our website for free. It's a PDF download. And if you haven't read that, you should read it. It's an extremely powerful book. It's a book for the common law grand jurors. So, matter of fact, I think that was, for the common law grand juries. Declaratory judgment. We have a Pettit jury also, so we have that booklet up there too. And once we finish this paper, make note of where it's at on our site. Declaratory judgment ruling that only common law petty juries are lawful, and serve a writ mandamus to all 94 federal district courts to acknowledge and obey the same, and attach a copy of a grand jury handbook to be distributed to all jurists. See attached copy of handbook in support. Available in PDF for free or handbook on Amazon. through nationallibertyalliance.org. Declaratory judgment ruling that the orientation of the jury must be by the people via jury administrators and not bar minions of the New World Order, who have proven to be manipulative, deceptive, and destructive to our courts of justice, and serve a writ mandamus to all 94 federal district courts to obey the same. See attached memorandum of law and support. Declaratory judgment ruling for the reinstatement of the original 13th Amendment that prevents bar lawyers from holding an office of trust, and serve a writ mandamus to all 94 federal district courts to obey the same. See attached memorandum in support of law and support. Declaratory judgment ruling for the overturning of Engle versus Vitale. That it was done in 1962, that violated the First Amendment by making law forbidding the free exercise of the people to read the Bible and pray in schools. Whereas if Congress shall make no law forbidding the free exercise thereof, neither can any court legislate law from the bench denying the people's right of a free exercise thereof, and serve a writ mandamus to all 94 federal district courts to obey the same. See attached memorandum of law and support. Declaratory judgment ruling the unratified 16th Amendment being a direct tax forbidden by Article 1, Section 9, Clause 4 of the Constitution, null and void, and serve a writ mandamus to all 94 federal district courts to obey the same. See attached two-volume book, The Law That Never Was, in support. Declaratory judgment ruling the unratified 17th Amendment that destroyed the balance of power and state sovereignty, forbidden by Article 5 of the Constitution, depriving the states equal suffrage, null and void, and serve a writ mandamus to all 94 federal district courts to obey the same. See attached memorandum of law in support. Declaratory judgment ruling Babylonian law, also known as civil law, is not law, and that the practice of law is an unalienable right, and that all Babylonian civil law established by Rule 2 that ignores Article 3, Section 2 by proclaiming to abrogate the common law and replace it with civil law, null and void, and serve a writ mandamus to all 94 federal district courts to obey the same. See attached memorandum of law in support. Declaratory judgment ruling for the clarification between law and equity, in that all codes, rules, and regulations are for government authorities and those engaged in commercial activities only, not human creators, in accordance with God's law, and serve a writ mandamus to all 94 federal district courts to obey the same. See attached memorandum of law in support. Declaratory judgment ruling non-judicial foreclosures null and void because it violates due process secured by the Amendment 5, and serve a writ mandamus to all 94 federal district courts to obey the same. See attached memorandum of law in support. Declaratory judgment ruling that there is no such thing as an Article 1 court, whereas Article 1, Section 8, Clause 9 vests Congress with the power to constitute tribunals inferior to the Supreme Court as defined in Article 3, and serve a writ mandamus to all 94 federal district courts to obey the same. See attached memorandum of law in support. Declaratory judgment ruling family court violates due process protected by Amendment 5, and as administrative processes must be administrated by the people, unfettered by legislation and technical rules, and not an equity court with a judge and besieged by the bar lawyers. These courts are an abomination, being destructive to the family, and completely traumatizes the children caught in its repugnant net. This court should be administrated by clinicians, mental health counselors, guidance counselors, or trauma counselors, and overseen by jury administrators, and if necessary, the people's jury, and serve a writ mandamus to all 94 federal district courts to obey the same. See attached memorandum in law in support. In conclusion, we understand that lawyers trained in equity and law are necessary, but the treasonous bar has been poisoning our courts of law since colonial days, dating back to 1750, working covertly, destroying our judicial process, equity and law, and thereby the understanding of our courts, common law spring of justice. Bar lawyers must resign their bar membership to practice law in our courts and learn with an open mind the common law being the remedy necessary to counter the venom they have been subjected to. Finally, the United States Supreme Court is to acknowledge that it is primarily an equity court and its only authority in courts of law is to protect the people against the constitutional violations arising under the Constitution. They are not to trespass upon the King's court, being Jesus Christ, by ruling law on issues like abortion, religious practices, etc. So ordered, New York, Albany, December, we've got to put a date in there, put a seal up here, and signature of the pettigrew foreman. And that kind of brings us to the end here. I do have a few corrections to be made here, and I may even add a few things. One of the things I was thinking of doing and wondered, I have like a list of maybe, I don't know, six or seven or maybe more things that I debated with myself on whether to put into this paper or not. But I realized that I think they have to be dealt with on their own. The biggest thing is the bar. We have to go after the bar and sue them for treason. You know, it's difficult to point the finger at all bar lawyers, you know, because they're victims too, to a certain extent. They've been taken and their minds, you know, really, they've been, goodness, almost hypnotized into their beliefs. They're taught not what to think. They're not taught to think. They're taught what to do. They're taught to do things according to what they believe is being taught as the law. There are certain people and at certain levels in the Bar Association, especially when you get high up in the rankings, and you know, who knows whether those people should be indicted or not specifically, and that we're going to have to figure as time goes on. So it's a big issue, and I don't think it could be dealt with directly in this paper. It's got to be a paper on its own. Once this paper goes through and the orders come out and they put forth written mandamuses, I don't think they have a choice in this matter. And things are getting to that point one way or the other. This is going through. So once we get to that point and this, we have our courts of law back and we have control of our courts, that's when we will file a paper against the bar to cease and desist, because everything they do is destructive to our republic. So that was one issue. And I know there's some other issues, but again, I just didn't think we could put it into this paper. But again, once we get good courts, we can take it into the court. So I'm going to kind of open this. Let me see if I opened up a Q&A. No, we're in lecture. Let me go to Q&A. Okay, anybody that has any questions or comments on this paper, or any additions or things that they think we might want to add to this paper, you know, now is the time to talk about it. And, you know, we'll take a look and consider every thought and every idea. We'll accept every correction that we believe is correct. And, you know, from time to time, we do make errors here. And we correct our errors as we discover them, and as everyone should do. Again, we want to hear from the people and see once what other people think and what we may have missed and what we should add or correct. So we'll take our first caller. It looks like Ronald. Jonathan. Hold on, I think it's Jonathan that's next. Let me click the button. Okay, Jonathan, you got the mic. What state are you calling from?
I'm in Ohio. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you good. Go right ahead, Jonathan.
Okay, great. One thing I saw was, have you ever considered mentioning Confirmatio Cartarum along with Magna Carta?
I'm trying to remember what that directs directly to, but I have heard about that. You know, refresh my memory.
Okay, so because...
That goes back to the Magna Carta anyway, but go ahead.
Yeah, because of the way the Magna Carta came into being as though it was under duress.
Oh, so the second paper after?
Yeah. It was actually a series of three acts to where Bill Thornton explains it better than I could over at 1215.org.
Yeah, that's why I learned about it. It was a long time ago, but I haven't done much research on that, and you know, I kind of picked up on it, but I guess I never really thought or recalled to research it. But I'll take a look at that. Do you know the spelling offhand?
Confirmatio is Confirmatio, and then Cartarum is Cartarum.
You know, I'm going to go back and listen to Bill Thornton if I can find where he was speaking about that, and see once what he says. I'll try to get a copy, and then I'll consider to put that in as more authorities.
Yeah, I think that'd make it a lot stronger, because technically Magna Carta came in under duress, and there was some political stuff that happened back and forth, but it ended up being confirmed, and it's perpetual through those confirmations.
Yeah, correct, yes. So, yeah, it was a very powerful paper. It is the kind of the foundation of the United States. You know, a Declaration of Independence is built upon that. And this paper is built upon both the Declaration of Independence and Magna Carta, also the right of the people to take back control of their out-of-control treasonous government. And that's where we're at.
Right.
And the United States Supreme Court, you know, look, we know that they've been caught, you know, in the sense that the military has some power over them at this point. And I think we can see the evidence in that, because out of just nowhere, they turned around and ruled that Roe versus Wade, they overturned it. And they also ruled that the Second Amendment, you can't make no law. I mean, and that was back to back. And I understand there's a lot of more rulings that have been coming out of there. You know, and they're hearing a case right now, which is the case, I believe, that we're kind of coming in on their coattails, so to speak, because the military is backing them up. And that's a case that I believe is mostly focusing in on the election and the fraud taking place on the election. And there's other issues that are taking place, and some wins that that Trump had gotten recently in the court. So things are changing. Stress is being put upon these people. The right decisions are being made. The timing for what we're doing, I think, is perfect. I mean, you know, I've been debating, but also I've been retarded from doing some of my work because of different problems, my computer problems and so on and so forth, and kind of prevented me from doing some things. So I'm kind of like a month behind. But being a month behind, I think, puts me really in the right place and timing. And I always realize that the timing is not in me. It's in God's timing. You know, I will struggle to do something and try to get things done as soon as possible, but it'll be done in its right time. I truly believe that. So, because I believe we're doing the right thing. There's no doubt about it. And, you know, so we're doing the just thing. Okay, anything else, Jonathan?
Just some little grammatical errors. I don't know if you wanted me to mention that kind of thing or not.
Well, I'll tell you what, you know, drop an email to me. Just make sure you put in the subject matter "Attention, John Duresh," and send it to mail, M-A-I-L, at nationallibertyalliance.org. I'll send you a copy of this, and I'll get all the red out. Well, I'll leave the red in. What you want to do is, wherever you make any changes, just yellow highlight them. And,
okay, yeah,
if you give me a copy, I'll be able to look at it and make the changes. I can use that kind of correction. Excuse me?
Yeah, if you send me a copy, I do a lot of proofreading and grammatical correction, that type of stuff. I'm pretty good at it, so
right,
I'd be happy to help.
I'll send it out to you. So, and I'm going to have someone else that may want to check it too, and you know, for also so corrections.
Right.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. I yield.
And remember, this is my third draft, and it's not the final one. And I knew that reading it out loud will really. Because, again, I can read through this numerous times and not see these mistakes. And, you know, you kind of just bypass it, and you're reading things that maybe isn't even there. I mean, I've read things where I actually drop the thought, and I think the thought is in there, and I go through it, and then someone else picks up when I look back and I say, wow. So reading it out loud is really beneficial, and this is a good place to do it. It gives people the opportunity to see the work we're doing and to assist and participate in this. Because people need to understand this. And again, I want to make this point, and I'll make it again maybe before the night is out, that people need to get this message out. Tonight's you know, open forum is going to be you know, put up on Rumble. We have all of our calls that go up on our page. Let me go to our page here. Hang on a second. So all of our calls go up on our weekly call, so people can download them in MP3s. But we do have a page under today's issues, and you can also get it to it from this page also. But anyway, under today's issues, if you click on NLA Monday Open Forum Video, you'll find that we put certain videos up here. Now, I don't put every one up here, only certain ones. Like last week, we had a really powerful meeting. It was a Q&A with Pennsylvania Allegheny County Committee of Safety. And so we had a Q&A with them, and it was really good. The week before, or a couple of weeks before, we did a case for a Bible back in school. And I'm writing some papers on that and how we might be able to do that. It's up to the people to bring the Bible into the school. You can't require the Bible to go back into the school. The people brought it into the school originally, and the people got to bring it back into the school today. I'm going to write a paper on thoughts and ideas. I got a paper on a case for the Bible. We did a presentation on this, again, a couple of weeks ago, 11/28, which people should be going to watch it. Need for a proper education. You know, these are a lot of good videos here. So this video tonight, this open forum tonight that's in video form, will go up on this page, and it'll go up on the top. So, okay, we'll take our next caller. Let's see, is that Ronald? Can you tell us what state you're from?
I'm from Detroit, Michigan. State of Michigan. Sorry.
Michigan? What's your name?
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't hear you. Try it again.
Okay.
You're coming in a little mumbly, but go ahead with your question. We'll see what you're coming. See if we can understand.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you a lot better. Go ahead.
All right. Great. Thank you. I feel very blessed to be here on National Liberty Alliance. And I'm calling out of Michigan territory. And just to tell you, listening to the document, to the affidavit, it sounds very great. I'm thankful to be a part of this. I just recently joined, and I'm going to bring in a lot of more people on into the call, because here in the Michigan territory, we're suffering all the things you mentioned on the paper. We're sending in our core one toes. They're being ignored. So my question tonight, I wanted to, you know, ask you, because I'm listening to the paper, and what the brother right before me brought in sound wonderful to add in, and that was a great idea. And I want to know, like, I'm dealing with a case here myself where I just got put out my home, and how can I go about adding my case to the documents that you are submitting?
Send me... let me think about this. Why don't you give me next week's call? Get on the line again. Let's talk again, because I'll be talking with the people that are working on getting all the cases together, and we'll do something to try to get you connected, because we are going to push through the course on behalf of the people to a certain degree. Okay, we'll probably write some papers, certain papers, you know, for different issues, a paper for this issue or a paper for that issue, which will become a form, so to speak, that where the person can take that and fill in the information of their case and then resubmit it back into the courts, and we'll put it with a court order coming from the, you know, what the United States Supreme Court has ordered out, and that'll happen after they make their declaratory, declaratory judgments and send writs to all of the 94 federal district courts, which we then will take down into the state courts and press the issue. And should they disobey, you know, we'll be here always to work through that process and write the necessary papers in a generic way, or collectively bring the information together as it comes to us, and then bring it and deliver it back into the federal court for action. I'm not sure exactly how we're going to deal with it, because there's a lot of places and it's a lot of issues and a lot of paperwork, and we can only do so much, you know. But we can at least create forms and bring things in a certain way into the courts and just move things along. But look, justice must prevail. Every person that has lost a home, they need to be restored, okay? Every person that has been incarcerated, they need to be restored. And, you know, where habeas corpuses were denied, all these people have lost their children or their parents to these family courts or to probate courts for, you know, their inheritance and stuff. All those people have to be restored. And there's plenty of money out there for these people to be restored, in the sense, you know, there are trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars. There's great corporations and everything that these people own. And they have to be auctioned off. The properties need to be seized because, as Donald Trump said numerous times, you know, when you rob the diamond store and you get caught, you got to return the diamonds. Well, they got to return. They got to return and give us justice. And I do believe, in my heart of hearts, there's no doubt in my mind and thinking, when you look at all these things, it's just logical. And I heard that there is a paper out there making this claim and that the military is behind it. But in any event, you know, this restitution is definitely going to take place because, again, once all these people are jailed and dealt with, everything that they own needs to be taken away, and the amount is just unbelievable. It's 90% or even more of the economy of the entire world, because they own all the major corporations, the news media, they own and they own property and real estates, they gold, silver. It just goes on and on and on. So the whole world ultimately will be restored, because it's not just us in America that are being destroyed and have been injured by these people. It's people in every country. And and there are 20 countries, the militaries were in 20 different countries, and leaders, and even militaries in countries where the leaders aren't on board, that are working together. This is a huge operation. And I'm beginning to get the whole picture. Well, not the whole picture. I'm beginning to get a bigger picture as time goes on. And just today, you know, I've come to the realization how big this really is, this movement to take back not only this, but the nations of the world. So we're watching Isaiah 14 unfold before us, for anybody who's a Bible study, a student of the Bible. But go ahead, anything else?
Yes, that's absolutely correct. And I thank you, because here in the Michigan Territory, we all, you know, we come to wait to seeing what they're doing, and a lot of us have wakened, and I have at least 20 people where we come together. I just filed a document in the federal court stating some of the same things that you were saying to the federal court about the lower courts, and I'm waiting now to hear action for a removal of a case from there, the state courts into federal courts, and they play so many games. And we know the tricks that they're playing. We study in each and every day. And we just became across, like the last month, the National Liberty Alliance. I prayed and I asked Jesus to send us some help, because we need to unite in this. And and the next day I woke up and I seen you guys there and I joined in. And I'm asking all the 20 people that I study with to join in as well. So I yield the floor, and I just want to give gratitude to all that we're doing and all that you're doing. Thank you.
Well, we appreciate that. And I don't know if you know that we're building committees of safety, and this is how we take our nation back. This is how we have government by consent, control of our government from both the political and the judicial sides, because those are the controls. You know, it's not just responding to being a jurist, and it's not just going out and vote. That's really the least of it, really, when you really look at it. It's more than that. It's controlling the courts. It's controlling the political process. And that's what the people need to be doing. Our founding fathers did it. They taught us how to do it, and then we forgot. Now we have to do it. Now we have to learn. We have to re-educate ourselves. We have to become educated in the process and do exactly what they did. And they used committees of safety to do everything. And so, you know, if you look on our front page, I don't know if you had the opportunity yet, but on our front page, we have a, let me go to my front page here. We have a video right up top, and it's a seminar. It's the plan. It's our plan, government by consent, and it was recorded back in December of 21. So this is a little long. You know, you can always watch it in a couple pieces if you want. But I think it was really put together well, and it lays out exactly what we're doing. And we have all the tools to do it. We have an education, we have courses, free courses, and then we have the process, start here to organize a committee of safety. We have handbooks and tools. Everything that's needed, we have. Everything is free. We do have some of these handbooks available in a pocket handbook type thing, where you can put it in your shirt pocket, your back pocket, your pocketbook, or whatever, it's small. And you can buy that on Amazon for just a couple of bucks. We tried to offer that as cheap as possible. At some point in time, I think we have to get a printer to do it directly for us and run them off by maybe 100,000 at a time, We just don't have the money right now to purchase that kind of thing. But if we can run them off like 100,000 at a time, I know we can get it down to probably 45, 55, or 60 cents a piece, you know. And, of course, that'll be even cheaper and different once we get onto the other side of our economy, because the economy is being controlled, it's being collapsed, and we're going to find ourselves on the other end where gold and silver is back, and many people restored, and, you know, the economy is going to boom at that point in time. And things, people will be able to afford things that they can't afford right now, things that they should be able to afford that they can't afford. You know, it's really hard to... these last days now, I'm seeing. But anyway, all right. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. And let's talk next week, and I'll try to think of how we can go about I just have to find somebody to work and help us to gather the information, and we'll put it into certain form and see if we can't take on more cases and try to find an easy way to do it. But whatever it is, we'll find a way, and we'll add more cases and people who have cases. And those, once we get our final paper, if anybody that has a case with us doesn't see their case with us, they need to alert us, and we'll search out, you know, where that error took place and fix it. So, okay. Yes. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Okay. Let's take our next caller. Ross, how you doing? You got the mic. Go right ahead.
Hello. We should put... the Federal Reserve Act in there too.
Well, we do have the Federal Reserve. Well, let me think. Do we have the Federal Reserve? We have we have the 16th Amendment there, and the Federal Reserve. Well, the Federal Reserve is a private corporation, and with the 16th Amendment gone and things back, the Federal Reserve is going to disappear. I know Trump's going to kill the Federal Reserve, but that's something that's big that we'd have to do on its own. Again, that's like the Bar Association. To deal with that, we need to get a just court. Once we have a just court, whatever's left standing that we have to deal with, then we're going to go after. The Bar Association will be one of them, because I don't think many people realize how seriously defunct the bar is and how much of an enemy to liberty and our republic that they are. You know, lawyers are brainwashed, judges are brainwashed in this. Now they're going to become confused. But people who don't have any experience in the court don't understand this. And so it's a big case. It's a big case that we're going to have to deal with to go after the Federal Reserve. And again, I think Trump is handling that anyway, because he's going to bring back up a gold and silver economy back. And the Federal Reserve has got to go. I mean, there's no doubt about it. So we'll see what's left standing when we get to the other side, if it's still in place. You know, the other thing, the Bible in a class is an important thing. I'm going to do some papers on that. And it, just for everyone to know, and I got two pages up here, so I'm going to have to get rid of one and bring them together. But under today's issues, is it? No, it's under Starter Committee of Safety. I have national issues and issues for COS to consider. I'll probably keep the page issues for COS to consider and combine these two pages, because they're really the same thing. But on the issues for the Committee of Safety to consider, I've got some papers up here, and it's a case for the Bible in school. Now, I want to add a case for the Bible in school how-to, okay? And then it'll be up to the people on the grassroots level through their committees of safety to bring the Bible back into the schools. And I'm going to lay out a plan on how they can do that and how to make contact with, and how they can make contact, get the mailing addresses of individuals within a certain school district or something, to be able to send out a letter inviting the parents to a meeting, and then to discuss in the meeting different things concerning the school, the education, things that need to be brought back into the school, like civics, the Constitution, common law, and many, many other things, and bringing the Bible back. And we got to get the parents on board. I'm sure there'll be some communities that might be against that because they're stuck on the lie concerning Christianity and thinking that there has to be a separation of who we are as a people. No, the only thing is the separation ultimately is that we don't want to bring denominations into any schools. We just want to bring the Bible back in. And it teaches morals, and it teaches the life history of the king of the court through the Gospels, which is Jesus Christ. He's the king of our court. His name is Emmanuel, which is being interpreted God with us. and God is the king of our court. So the God of the Bible is the king of the court. And if we don't teach our children who the king of the court is, how are they going to know who he is? And how are they going to know, you know, ultimately the common law? Because that's where it stems from, the Bible.
Yes.
But the people got to do that. They got to do that. They got to do it on the grassroots level. I'm going to write some papers for that. If other people want to write papers on how to help and what to do to, you know, what people can be doing on a grassroots level and a plan on how they can work it out, if they want to write papers and submit it to us, and we'll go through it and, you know, we'll hash it out and get it up there. Because people need to have a plan. And then they can interpret that however they want. You know, you know, each committee of safety is free and independent, and they can make their own decisions.
John?
Yeah.
With the Bible in the school, I hope by someone in my family, they say that would never happen.
Well, you know, again, it wasn't in the schools from the very beginning. It was in the schools. Matter of fact, Congress passed some.
I know they passed the law.
They passed legislation concerning the fact that the Bible should be the centerpiece. They didn't require it, but they definitely supported it. All our founding fathers did. And schools did have it in their classroom all the way up until 1963. That was nationwide. Everywhere it was, within public schools, that is. And again, it was used as a history book, and it was used as one of the great books. It sits among the great books. It's part of the great conversations of the world, you know.
I think the problem is because we the people are not in control of the schools right now. That's why we need.
Right now you're right. You know, until the people get committees of safety and take control of the school boards, fire them. We could fire them. We can get rid of them. You know, again, that's the power of the Committee of Safety. That's government by consent. When the people get together once a month, discuss some problems and figure out how to solve them, and then go and solve them. That's the purpose of the Committee of Safety. And one of the problems is to bring into subjection all these people with all these boards, whether it's a school board or a town board or whatever it is. It could be the legislators of your county or the legislators of your state. We need to bring them back under our control, under the thumb, ultimately, of the Constitution, as Jefferson put it, to bind them down by the chains of the Constitution. And that's what we need to do. We need to fire them. We have the power and the authority to recall anyone at any given time. We can get rid of someone within 90 days. And there's even faster ways to do that. By way of ultimately, you know, we can file papers, file on demand for credentials, and that's enough to bring them out of power and authority. Because if they don't respond properly, they have to give up their office. And if they do respond properly, you get a hearing, an administrative hearing. Once you prove and show that the damage was there, then they hit their bond up for damages, and then now they got to obey. There's so many ways to do this. Also, if it's something that's criminal, you know, they can be indicted. And if we're in control of the courts, as the people should be, in total control of the courts, these are the courts of law are run by the people. It's very simple. You know, everybody knows when a wrong has been done. Everybody can sit down and listen and say, that's BS. No, there's contradictions here. That person's lying, or they see the consistency of the truth, because the Bible teaches us that truth is self-evident. You just sit back and listen for a while. You'll figure it out, whether what's being told and what's being done, whether it's truth or whether it's just. You know, we know. God said he wrote these laws into our hearts, that we know the difference. You know?
Oh, yeah.
There's a big difference between people before the cross and the people after the cross. You know, when you read through the Bible and you see the way most people were and the way things were, because God wrote the history and all the blemishes and everything in there of mankind, and you wonder how he even tolerated them. But then you got to ask the question, how does he even tolerate me? You know, but if people were different back then than they are today, and today, in this side of the cross, people have more of a sense of justice, more of a sense of right and wrong. than they did before the cross. That's my opinion, of course, but that's what I do see, you know, when I look at the people of the Old Testament versus the New Testament. You know, grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The law came by Moses and the prophets.
Yes. Okay.
Anything else, Ross?
I think a lot of people in our nation will resist the idea to be idea of we should control everything. They rather have attorneys control the courts.
Resist the idea of what?
To get control. They think that would never happen.
They control the courts?
Yes.
Well, that again, let's go back to what our founding father said. And Jefferson, I believe it was, that said, we don't have government by the majority. We have government by the majority that participates. And I will tell you that I have seen that there is a great movement to return back to God. I've been to some events, a big event out in Pennsylvania, maybe a month ago or so, and it was just filled. Every speaker that had got up there acknowledged God. Most of them, Jesus Christ. A lot of them may not have mentioned his name, and that's okay. You know, look at the God of the Bible is for the Jew, the Muslim, and the Christian. So it unites us all ultimately, because we all have the Old Testament. We all have Jehovah God in view. Just that Jesus Christ is the expressed image of him. But even the atheist, you know, to see a place of justice and a desire to participate, well, hey, everybody's welcomed. Our founding fathers welcomed everyone. Christianity welcomes everyone. If you look at Israel, when Israel was going through for 40 years wandering in the wilderness before they got to the promised land, they've come upon many, many people who visited them as they planted themselves for a while and then got up and moved and getting heading towards the promised land, so to speak. Many people left their homes and their own lands to join themselves with the Jews, for mostly because of the government, you know, the liberty that they had, because the law came and liberty came with it. But go ahead.
I feel like the problem is because Christianity rejects the idea of another testament of Jesus Christ.
Well, again,
the Book of Mormon, I was
right. Again, the point is not to denominate anything in the schools. I mean, that I don't think anyone would stand for, and that's up to the people to look. It's up to the parents to get involved and decide what they want in their schools or not. And if they don't want the Bible in the school, well, then so be it. And I don't think they're going to get the blessings that people would get that do put the Bible in the school. But ultimately, you know, the time will come. Children graduate, other parents come in. And hopefully at some point in time, you know, the fruits of the labor of what we're doing today to educate our children today, who then become the parents of tomorrow, okay, you know, if they're educated properly, then, of course, they're going to look at things in a different way. The other thing is there's a big awakening going, and I think it's going to become more and more obvious and much, much bigger as things go forward. Because only by the grace of God could we have defeated this foe that we have. Remember, we were up against Leviathan. We were up against the kingdom of Satan, ultimately. You know, the Bible teaches us that Satan is the prince and power of the world. He rules, he's the prince of the air, okay? And the idea in the Bible when it talks about Satan being prince of the air or identifies anything with what's going on in the air, it identifies with the place of conversation. So he's the prince and power of the conversation of the world. Satan won this world by reason of conquest. Those who read the Bible see that picture pretty clearly. And he is, you know, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and wickedness in high places, okay? And that brings us to high spiritual places, a lot of churches, where the Satan will be working to take it over, because that's what he does. And it also brings into political realms. And we have the New World Order, which is the epitome of this whole thing that we're talking about. It's the epitome of Leviathan. It is Leviathan, in my opinion, as the Bible speaks.
I just feel like it's a great in the bottom of a church.
It's a what?
A great abominable church.
Abominable?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, there are a lot of problems in most churches, if not all. I mean, I don't want to make a judgment across the board.
I was referring to the idea of United Nations is almost like a church on itself.
Yeah, well, again, going back into a church that Satan has seized control of, God speaks to those people in those churches to hold fast that what they do have, because just because Satan is ruling in a particular church doesn't mean those people necessarily have bent the knee to Satan. So we have to understand that. But again, you know, that's really discussions that we probably shouldn't be having on this particular platform, but we do have to discuss it to some degree, but I don't want to go too deep into it.
Okay. I'm done.
All right. Thanks a lot, Ross. Okay, let's take our next caller. Let's see. It is someone from Florida, I think. What's your first name from Florida? You got the mic.
I've been here so long, and you still don't recognize. Shame on you, John. I'm counting on you, John.
You what? You moved to Florida finally, huh? Again.
No, that's I just have a Florida number. I moved from Florida.
From Florida, that's right. Yes.
Remember,
I'm sorry.
I just still have.
I thought you wanted to go back there with the sheriff and everything, you know?
All right, yeah, you got jokes, yeah. Yeah. No, I'd like to go back there and choke some, you know, so that's about it. I feel that's where my work still is. My cases are. That's the why I have an interest in the community of safety there still, which I'm working, you know. So, but what I want to say is, that's an excellent paper, but don't you think you should, you know, what about what I brought to your attention, which is very serious, what CPS is doing? You didn't mention them at all. I know you mentioned family courts, which is what they work through to do their will. Okay.
Right. We have to totally look at this. No courtroom should be in a place to try to help a family. And you know, the people need to help families, and we need to hire people with the proper education.
Don't you think you need to mention stopping them? Mention more detail in stopping them. And what about what I brought to your attention? The fact that, see, you didn't believe me, but when I tell you, the sheriffs in Florida, the majority of those counties are connected. They take the sheriff to the house to terrorize the people, to open the door.
Yeah, but once we change the system, once we take back the courts, the people will be able to use the courts to defend themselves. And that is the key to this whole thing. That's the key to this paper, as a matter of fact. There are a lot of issues, and sheriffs have to be educated. There are a lot of bad. Yeah. I wouldn't say there's a lot of bad sheriffs, but there's bad sheriffs out there, and I think there's a lot of.
The entire system of sheriffs, you don't get it. The entire system of sheriffs in Florida is completely messed up to connect themselves directly.
Right,
you know,
but that's a criminal.
Organized and heads of CPS. The sheriff is heads of CPS.
Yes, but once we take down the crimes, the criminals within government, and that'll include sheriffs too. Once we take down the criminals, and again, that's the military's job at this point to deal with that, and I know they're going to deal with that. A lot of those cases may go into regular courts. I don't know how they're going to handle it, but in any event, there's going to be a lot of repairs. The key thing that we need, the first order of business, from my strong opinion. But let me just tell you, first order of business, let me just make this point, though. The first order of business, in my very, very strong opinion, is to win back the courts. And I think all of the points to take back the courts. Once we take back the courts and the people control the courts, you bring a just matter into that court, you're going to get justice. You're going to be able to, you're no longer talking to a political animal sitting up on some bench there. No, we're talking to the people who you can then lay out the process and what's going on. And we're talking to a people who are fully informed. And I want to really impress on people to go out and read these two books that we wrote. One is on, and let me go to the page where they're at. You know, they're under on the blue bar, you come to the committees of safety, start a committee of safety, and come down to handbooks, okay, handbooks and tools.
Yeah, I have all of those downloaded.
Right, but all the other people listening in, to all the other people listening in, I want them to know it's extremely important. You know, we have a book on how to organize committees of safety, how to organize a proper committee man within the committee of safety charter, resolutions of vow, and so on and so forth. We also have a common law handbook, elected officials handbook. But here is the key, a grand jury handbook. And as a matter of fact, one Monday we're going to read this handbook, I think. It's 30 pages. We might have to breeze through it. But it's a powerful, powerful paper. And the other thing, the other thing is the pettigrew handbook. Okay. Now this, and that's 40 pages. Now these two books, these are the books that are used to orientate the juries. The orientation is to work with this book and start with this book going from the beginning of the day to the end. Should be able to orientate it and give them a, and they take home a copy and keep a copy of this handbook. And we're going to put some videos or PowerPoints together, and we're also writing a handbook for the jury administrators, so how to do business, how to do things, and, you know, how the day-to-day operations would be in that handbook for them. But we also will give them tools and a plan. And on how to start to properly orientate this jury. And this handbook is the primary, the focus of orientation of the jury. So once you have a fully informed jury, okay, you have courts of justice. The judges are out of our way. They're no longer, you know, sticking their nose in the business of courts of law, because no judges belong in a court of law. People don't understand that. They need to understand how common law works. The judge is the people, the tribunal. Let the people decide. You know? That's Remember when Christ was crucified, what did Pilate say? I'll let the people decide. You know?
That's
the people decide.
That's right, he did.
You know?
So
this is how... Actually, they didn't, because he became sin for us. He became guilty on our behalf.
Yeah,
actually, they didn't make the wrong decision.
Well, it was all ordained in order to accomplish.
Absolutely, a sin that they will not be held liable for. The Bible says, but in any event, in any event, we'll go back to. You have another question or a comment?
I forgot the other one. Just a moment. Are they going to get rid of the municipal and state cops who are doing all these things that you know that they're doing?
The municipal what? Getting rid of the...
Are they municipal, the occupied military force, foreign entities, municipal and state cops?
Oh, you mean you're talking about
foreign,
the municipal courts. Is
foreign,
that what you're talking about?
Belligerent occupation is another name under the laws of war.
Yeah, well, that...
All right?
That,
the municipal and state cops... Also called belligerent occupants, military force, foreign agents.
Yeah, well, that will all fall apart on its own. There are certain things that will fall apart on its own, so we don't have to really go out and attack and try to, you know, get a ruling to get rid of them, and that's too big a thing, I think, to do. But it's up to the people to get educated. The committees of safety will do that on their own, because and you know, they will be educated enough to know that they don't have to pay a traffic. When people realize they don't have to pay a traffic ticket, then they get called into court, and they give them the ultimatum. And again, you know, people can go out and
we need to stop them from making arrests.
Yeah, well, I'm getting to that point. Okay, I want to try to build into that point. But people can go out and they can get the book Court Access in the Common Law right here, and that book will lay out on how you can get into the court and deal with your own problems. And we have a whole chapter on traffic court, which is code court, really. You can put any code violation in there. So if you get a ticket from a local cop, people can battle it inside the courts. They can go to the courts, challenge the jurisdiction, let it be known they don't have jurisdiction, dismiss the case, and don't bother me again. Of course, they do it nicely and politely. Now, if the court tries to seize control, and believe me, what we're doing is going to permeate down to them anyway, so they're going to know. At some point, look at the people who are not getting educated. They're going to continue to live as a slave until they discover I don't have to. But I think that's going to move very quickly. Hold on. It's going to move very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
What we do is we dry it up. Okay, we dry it up at the source. And what allows them to have these courts and what allows them to have all of these police officers, okay, code enforcement officers, what allows them to have all of that, okay, is the people paying the tickets. When that stops, the court falls apart. And all they need to be met once with one person who challenges them that they deny, and they take them into federal court, and they get $1 million or whatever it is that they go after them for denial of due process and hijacking them into courts unknown and committing treason upon the free and independent individual. Believe me, that court is going to suffer and it's going to fall apart. Again, how to do it by taking it into the federal courts is a big thing. I think that'll fall apart just like the political parties. If we take control and have government by consent by the people in the grassroots, political parties will totally fall apart. And I'm going to write a paper on how that's going to happen or how that can happen, but what the people have to do in order for it to happen. It's all up to the people. People have to exercise their right of government by consent. So all of that, I'll write some papers on this. And again, if anybody else wants to, you know, contribute to writing these things, they're more than welcome.
Right. Yeah. Because they need to just be made to stay in. I'm not saying necessarily dissolve them. Their place is security at City Hall. They need to be made to stay in their place, not come out into the street and become mercenaries is what I make them understand.
Right. Well, police,
once they leave their post, they become mercenaries as soon as they hit the streets.
What people don't realize, okay, is that when a police officer who is a code enforcement officer makes an arrest, they're actually making a citizen's arrest. Okay, the process ticks it up from there, but they're making a citizen's arrest. The only one that can make a lawful arrest is the sheriff. It's not a citizen's arrest. And that's what I think has to grow. The sheriff offices have to grow and little by little take over the police departments. Now, some places like City of New York maybe or something, or even small towns or small places, they want to maintain a private police force that exercises the same thing they do now, with the exception of writing code violations only for commercial code activities, which would be very minimum within within their towns, I would guess.
I tell you, they do that in Florida, where the municipalities have contracted sheriffs, and I tell you they have improper oaths. They take an oath to the Constitution and the state Constitution and city ordinance. Now, you know something's wrong with that picture.
Well, that's a conflict, Well, the state constitution is one, and of course the federal constitution overshadows the state constitution. So, you know, anything...
Yeah, but taking oaths to protect and defend and uphold city ordinance, along with that, if you
Well, that's a problem. Again, they're code enforcers. Okay, that's a problem.
There's a sheriff doing this.
I saw a picture recently... where an individual was being arrested because this was the sort of a decree or whatever you want to call it that went out ultimately from the Democratic movement concerning people who were making a fuss concerning boards of even a board of election, but particularly school boards. And people were being arrested.
School board officials are like attorneys. They're thorns. Okay?
Yeah. If the people want to live with it, then do nothing. If you want to stop it and bring it back and under order and get a good education for your children, then you have to exercise your right of government by consent and getting involved with the Committee of Safety in your county and doing the things that have to be done. It's that simple, you know.
Yeah, what you need to know is there's a difference in the culture, because I have lived in four different states. The northern hemisphere, people are more awake, okay, and they're more participatory in community things, such as you likely get more participation. In the South, it's like pulling teeth. People are very sleep and sluggish here in the South. They're that way in Alabama, where I was born, and that way in Florida, and they're that way in Texas, you know.
Well, again, you know, each community... Each community has to learn, and they may see the community next door, you know, prospering and doing things and getting things done right, and saying, well, why don't we do it?
Yeah.
So again, people got
to
work
it
out.
But
with that, I want to let you know that I got three other people. Yeah. I got to leave in 10 minutes, so I want to move on to the next caller. Do you have a final point or anything or statement?
Well, what is the paper? I saw in one of your papers, though, about getting rid of certain military, it's really the police, which you were describing, you know, in one of your papers that I saw. But anyway, when is the paper going to be out?
Well, hopefully, I may post it early and then just add on the extra cases as the time goes on before we actually file it. So maybe by the end of the week I'll have it reasonably perfected. There's a couple individuals that's going to help.
Will we see the joiners in there?
Yeah, you'll see a list of them. If your name is missing, you can let us know, and we'll make sure we get. There are names missing because there's people still working on this, and I just wanted to get this paper out sort of get it and entertain it out here in the public. And
because you made a note, but you never get back to me, you know, to find mine.
Yeah, I haven't been able to. It is, you have no idea. I'm so bogged down. My desks and my tables are just full of papers, and each paper represents work, you know.
I wish I was in your presence.
I'm swamped.
Together.
So,
yeah.
All right, let me take the next.
Okay.
All right, thanks.
Okay, then. All right.
Okay, next person, Heather from Michigan.
Yes, John. It's Heather Lee.
Yeah, I always get confused with that MI Michigan versus MN. Minnesota, you know. So, but anyway, go ahead.
Sorry. The Great Lakes, anyway. John. I got on a little bit later, so if you already have this in your paper, then that's fine. But the issue is of the private land. Did you address anywhere in those points about we the people in our private land? We are land, and that our land that we stand on is private, and the pirating of we the people and taxation. Did you address that?
Well, no, not directly, no, because remember, that's a common law principle, and once we turn to a common law rule, then you apply those common law principles if necessary when you need to deal with someone who's violating your rights in some way, particularly with your land or whatever the case may be. But look at, you know, the Bill of Rights really is the key to go to, you know, which, you know, really protects us. Pretty good anyway. But no, there are lots of, I had a list of things that I wanted to bring into this paper, but I saw it was too big that, you know, first order of business is to bring the courts back into a court of law. That's what this paper does, and it deals with the major issues that deal with that problem. Now, other issues will come up, and we will pursue them. We were definitely going to pursue a paper concerning the Bar Association. That has to be shut down, and we're going to do a paper. We're going to sue the Bar Association and have them cease and desist order. And I already got a paper like that pretty much written, so that's not going to take much to do. But that has to be done its own. The other thing is a lot of problems are going to fix itself, because once we get a just court, then justness moves out in throughout our government. It goes right on down even to local government. And so a lot of these problems will be fixed on their own, so to speak. But whatever's left standing that needs to be dealt with at some point, then we'll start targeting them and deal with them.
Okay. The reason I ask that is because it's at the core of everything. It's at the core of all the admiralty that in 1871 when they
strongmen
and everything else.
We dealt with that.
Privacy. Okay.
We dealt with that 1871. That we do have in there, the Organic Act. Yeah. That's in there.
Okay.
So, and again, you know, those issues are all going to fall away and fall apart. I can see it very clearly once we establish the law and get our courts to become courts of law. Once that happens, and the equity courts return and get rid of the Bar Association, bar attorneys, we did require that no bar lawyers to be in the courts. They don't belong there because they're poisoned, you know. We have a powerful memorandum concerning that. That's one of the declaratory judgments that we want that we put in our paper. But go ahead.
I understand that you did the whole dissertation on the bar, and it was excellent. I listened to it. But what is the difference between, it's been spoken this way, that common law lawyers versus bar barristers, okay? But bar attorneys still call themselves lawyers.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a mix of barrister, lawyer, and attorney.
Well, according to Black's Law, because I know people have brought this issue up, and I thought too, but according to Black's Law, an attorney and a lawyer are the same thing. It means the same thing, according to Black's Law. And so I don't know Bouvier, I'm not sure. Well, I'll have to look into that. I don't want to say that it does. But, I'm going to look into that on the Bouvier side. But going back to the difference between, forget about a lawyer and attorney. The difference is a lawyer versus a bar attorney or a bar lawyer. That's the thing we want to talk about. Anybody who is bringing forward the poison of the bar, which is civil law to destroy common law, that has to stop. That's an assault upon our republic. It's an assault within our courts. So that has to stop. But people need to learn how to represent themselves. And we have to teach our children how to do that in school. And if they learn how to represent themselves, they don't even need a lawyer. They can have a lawyer as a counselor, but who knows your case better than you? You know, the bar attorneys will tell you, only a fool will represent themselves. And that's a lie straight from hell. The truth of the matter is only a fool will hire a lawyer to represent them. I would never allow any of my cases to be represented by anyone but me. I might use counsel to assist me. I might allow that counsel to articulate certain points that maybe they can do better than I could, or whatever the case may be, but that's my decision at the time. But I would be totally in charge of my case. There's not a paper that wouldn't go in that I wouldn't either write or correct or add to. And again, my connection with any lawyer, which would only be a common law lawyer or a counselor, even from any point of view, I would do all my own writing. I wouldn't allow anybody to do my writing or anything.
It would be helpful if you had templates like you were talking about, John.
We have lots of templates. In the book, Court Access in the Common Law, we got a lot of templates, and we've written some of our own templates, but there's a lot of templates in there that are good, that's been used by others, and we've taken templates that are good and changed some wording in it to make it...
Okay, where are they on the website for the people?
Huh?
Where are they? Where are they located on our website?
Court Access in the Common Law. You have to buy the book for that, all those things. Although we do have a page here underneath education, you come down to law, go over to court forms and process, so we do have some. But we have a whole bunch inside of our inside the book, Court Access in the Common Law. And it lays out the mindset. It gets out the essentials and the anatomy of a court case, and it breaks down every part of the anatomy. You know, how to write papers. I mean, there's a lot of information there. It goes through the forms, the different strategies.
Is it in admiralty or is it in common law that those are presented?
It's in common law. Everything's in common law. And land. Admiralty law, we don't get involved in that unless you want to. You can go and become a lawyer and study, the codes and get involved in admiralty law or get involved with whatever, which would ultimately, is the law of the sea. And
I just asked a question. Okay.
Huh?
So
yep.
That's over. That's over because the queen
that,
is
that
dead.
That will be gone. That will no longer affect us.
Well,
so that argument by judges or anyone in a court will disappear once our courts of law come back.
Yes. And one more thing, I just wanted to make mention on the list of all the cases that Jim and I did. Those are on spreadsheets, John.
Yeah, and I'm waiting for them to be pulled together. Why don't you give me a call tomorrow or something? You got my number, right?
Give it to me. I don't know. I'll get it from Jim. I'll just get it from Jim.
Yeah, Jim's got it. Tell Jim I said to give it to you. Give me a call. Maybe you can help because we are working with that to bring it together, and I gave that
work. You worked really hard on that to get every detail, even the old cases. I mean, I did a lot of the old cases and pulled them all.
Okay, let's talk about that because we can use help on that. I got to finish this off. Otherwise, I'm going to have to find my own time to do it, and that'll stall me out on a lot of other things that I need to do, Give me a call, and if not tomorrow, the next day, but give me a call, in the afternoon sometime, and let's talk.
All right.
Okay. Well, you're on Skype, aren't you?
I was on Skype. I just had my thing redone. I have to reignite Skype. I'm sure I can do
it. All right. Well, give me a call. I want to move on because I got to leave shortly, and there's two more callers, so I want to get to them, okay?
Uh-huh, Yale. Good night.
Okay. Hold on. It's my alarm keeps going off. Let me see what time it is. I'm late already. Okay, let me take our next caller. Only got a minute or two with each of you, and we'll take it from there. Samuel, and I got Thomas left after Samuel. Samuel from Oregon, it looks like. Go right ahead.
Yeah, Sam, I'll make this quick. At the very beginning, you talked about whether or not you wanted to put in this Article 11 or not.
Right.
And it just seems to me that if...
It's Rule 11. And
thank you.
Rule 11 is a problem because, you know, if it was something out of the U.S. codes, that's one thing I would use it, okay? Because that would take control of an equity court, and we do it by law, and the people have the authority to do that. If it's a rule, we're already talking about rules are repugnant and therefore null and void. The rule is a good rule. It's not all the rules aren't bad. I mean, you know. But it's a good rule, so we'll use the rule without quoting it, and because it's a just idea, it's a just point, it's a common law position, you know. So, but what's your thoughts on that?
Well, my thought is you're dealing with a de facto court, and so you know you just approach them in the manner in which they're accustomed.
Well, it is a de facto court. I agree, but I gotta believe. Okay, with the exception of one or two of them up there, because we got two morons up there, in my opinion, that are justices on the Supreme Court. But other than that, I gotta believe that those justices are educated enough and looked enough that when they see the common law, they recognize the authority of it over the civil law. I gotta believe that. But you know what? The bottom line is this: once they are in obedience, they're now back to a court. Representing a court of law. Remember, you know, they have jurisdiction in both equity and law, but they're limited to what they can do in law. Well, that's the key to that. They're restricted to violations, constitutional violations, as far as the law cases are concerned. A criminal case, they don't have authority over. They can't overturn things if they see a violation against the individual or some kind of a constitutional problem with the case, of course. That is their job. It's their duty to do that. But that's their total connection. There's nothing more than that kind of a connection. To only deal with a problem for cause, in other words, a constitutional issue. And other than that, they can't hear courts of law. When the judges went up there and made these decisions, for instance, abortion, that's a law case. That belongs in God's court. They robbed God of his court there. They didn't have the power or the authority to do that because that's an issue. They could have stood up for against the abortion because that's a constitutional issue in the sense that they're protecting life. So that's what they could have done if they did want to do the right thing and require it to be unlawful to murder, you know, babies that are in the womb to be born. I mean, they could have done that. They didn't. I don't know that we'll ever. Well, maybe we will one day get a Supreme Court that'll have enough guts to do that. But. Other than that, they certainly can't rob God's court and make murder legal, and that's what they did. So, and there's other issues like that, you know, that they made problems with. They made the Second Amendment, so they overturned the Roe versus Wade. They did the right thing, and they pressed the issue of the Second Amendment stands supreme. I mean, you can't make a law to prevent an individual. You can't control it. No, you can't infringe upon it. And that's both recent cases. So I think we're moving towards a court that's able to deal with the problem. So then they will be a common law court when they step up and do the right thing. They're a common law court. In that decisions, they were acting as a common law court. They were acting as a court of justice. And that's a common law court, a court of justice. But
That's all I wanted to say is I thought that perhaps that should be included because that was a question you asked at the beginning and you know, however you decide, I mean, it's up to you. I just, you know, thought that since it was, you know, a de facto court and they're used to being treated in a certain way, you would just approach it that way. But, you know, you do as you please. I just thought I'd weigh in on that.
No, I appreciate that. And I do weigh against not using it, but I haven't totally, I'm still exploring it and thinking about it, and, you know. But I, my weight right now is against it, but that could change.
Yeah, when you package the writ, are you going to use the formal Supreme Court rules of,
no,
of procedure?
No.
You're not going to.
We're not even entering the court that way. We're entering the court forcefully. And we're putting on our front page an emergency, even though we don't quote Rule 11, which we might because of that, okay? That brings us into a point they don't have a choice but at least to look at that. They have to look at that. But the enforcement is the key. They've been already approached by NORCOM, and so we have NORCOM up there as our enforcement, so that's going to open their eyes. And when they read through it, look, it's a just paper. There's not one unjust thing in there. There's not one thing that we're demanding that's in error that they shouldn't do. They should do everything we asked for or demanded, commanded. They have to do, and I think they will.
Okay. John, I will yield and let you get on to that last call.
Yeah.
The time is getting late, and I appreciate you taking the time to hear what I had to say. Thank you.
All right, thanks, man. Okay, Tom, you're the last caller. You got the mic.
Hi, John. Hey, thank
you
for your presentation. I like the document. Its breadth is breathtaking. I think it's good timing.
Mm-hmm.
And
correction, a little cleaning up, but yeah, I think it's a pretty powerful paper. I think we did a good job on it.
Yes, sir. So I formed the Loudoun Committee of Safety here. We filed suit. We have an amended filing. I've run across the Brunson case, which I'm sure you're familiar with.
That's the case we're talking about where the military, approached the United States Supreme Court on that issue. So
yeah, I missed the first part of the presentation. So that part of the gist of my question was about the plan for enforcement when or if they deny it. But what I'm seeing are a lot of signs that it's going to be almost impossible for the Supreme Court to ignore the tenets of the Brunson case. In other words,
I agree with that. I haven't read the case yet. I think Gerard dropped a copy to me of the Brunson case.
Send it to you also, but there's
Send me a link to it or send me the copy of the case.
I'll
definitely want to read it.
There's a very interesting on the first page, and they did use the format for Supreme Court, but it says on the first page they refer to the doctrine of equitable maxim and the doctrine of the object principle of justice, which I've never it astounded me. Now I think this has a lot of merit. So I guess, because I missed the first part, and I don't mean to be redundant, but they're going to ignore this, no?
No, I don't think so. I think what you need to do is listen to the paper from the beginning, and I'll be posting it hopefully before the end of the week, but we will be uploading this onto Rumble, and it'll be under today's issues under NLA Monday Open Forum videos.
All right.
So it'll be there up tomorrow sometime probably, and you can look at it there or out on Rumble on our National Liberty Alliance page. But no, I don't think they can ignore us. You see, I got very excited about this when I started to hear about the Brunson case, and I listened to numerous individuals that are in the know talking about the fact that the military went to the Supreme Court, said, "We're watching this case, do the right thing."
So John, what are the ramifications if the Supreme Court ignores or decides not to take the case?
Time, that's all, just time. The other side of devolution, which is very close. We may be meeting it at the same time, because we're still not going to be able to file this paper until the end of the year, sometime right after Christmas, and they're not going to be back into the courts until the 6th. They're closed down till the 6th.
Interesting date that they chose to review the docket, huh? January 6th.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's true, but I think that's in the normal process, that date. So, Or you know, something like the first Tuesday of the month or the second Tuesday, whatever it is, you know, maybe something like that. I don't know. But, you know, but that's already in their process to close down for Christmas.
All right. Well, thank you for giving me the time. I yield.
Okay. All right. Thanks a lot. All right. Well, I want to thank everybody for coming. And Lord willing, we'll be back next Monday. Hopefully many will join us again. And we'll see what kind of subject matter we'll bring up then. Good night, everybody. Thanks for coming.